And I'll tell you what a joy it is. You know, Jesus said, lest we forget, when his mother and brothers, you know, there's a lot, explain this little instance to you. There was a time when Jesus' mother, this is not really publicly known, Jesus' mother and brothers were not for Jesus. You may have heard a lot about the Virgin Mary, but she was not for her son. She thought that her son had gone mad, and so did her brothers. They thought he was a lunatic. And especially when he could not even take a meal, there were so many people at his home, it says his mother and brothers said he's gone mad. And right after that, in the book of Mark, Jesus is sharing with some people, and a man comes up and says, your mother and brothers are out, they want to see you. The thought behind it is that they were coming to get him to go commit him. And Jesus, looking over this crowd, said, who is my mother and my brothers but those who do the will of God? They're my family. You're my family. You're doing the will of God. I have brothers that are not doing the will of God. You're more family than my flesh and blood. Some of them. Some of them are. And then we're the same. And I just thoroughly enjoy, Brent and I thoroughly enjoy being with you. And it's so exciting to get together and just sing to the Lord. I think more often behoove us to turn all the lights off and sing and quit respecting one another and realize the Lord's our unseen guest here. Anyway, I just have a few thoughts I want to share with you that I hope will tie together everything that we've gone over today. I realize you're going to have questions, but Paul and Jesus take so many, they go to such extraneous efforts to make sure that we understand this area from every possible angle. The angle I want to look at with you this afternoon is entitled, Dead Men Don't Sin. I'd like you to turn to Romans chapter 6. Dead men are dead. All they do is decay. Corinthians says our outer man is decaying day by day. I know that it's easy to listen to the things I and Brent have shared with you today and go, it's great, but, it's great, but, what about sin? What about this? What about that? I hope to silence the whatabouts. And if you will be so humble as to get these tapes, listen to them, I believe God will give you understanding. And I want to share with you a principle. The one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. You wonder sometimes why you're not blessed in what you do? Simple reason. You've not been meditating on the law of liberty. You have not set it before your face daily. You set it before your face, I guarantee you won't be a forgetful hearer, and you will become an effectual doer. As Brent said so well, you must apply faith. We must apply faith. What we hear does a person no good if they do not believe it. It's like winning the sweepstakes. It comes in the mail, and you're poor, right? And there it is. You've won. It can't be. What a joke. No one ever wins those things. It just can't be true. And so you toss it away and find out months later in the paper that you had won. And your number, sure enough, had won. They were unable to find the recipient of that number. And so they had to give it to someone else who was willing and gullible enough to believe that their number won. Well, I'm not trying to underscore sweepstakes as much as I'm trying to underscore the importance of believing what God's Word says. I'd like you to turn to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. You know, this morning I mentioned to you, I knew people were going to want an answer later, an explanation, that basically how can you be righteous and sin at the same time? Well, that's a dichotomy, it's a paradox, and it can't be. That is in the eyes of God. Beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. It all depends on who's looking. And it all depends on what who's looking says about you. You see? So the angle that we're looking at today is, what does God say? I don't care what people say. I don't care what Christians say. I don't care what eons. I was visiting with my brother this week, who was going to a Christian school in Michigan. He's going into music, into opera. And we were talking about some of these principles. We were talking about sharing our faith, and he really wants to win some of his friends to the Lord. And boy, it was like an eye-opener when I started talking to him about servant and friendship evangelism. It's just like, Mark, you can't. How can you do that? How can you say that? And so he said, well, Oliver, I want you to know I'm not saying this. That's the first thing I want you to understand. If I don't have biblical base to show this to you, I won't even talk about it. And so I took him to Scripture and showed him how Jesus interacted with the lost. Showed him how Jesus was accused of eating and drinking with sinners and tax gatherers. And boy, his eyes start up and he says, I've never heard that before. Well, you may have not heard any of these things before either. And if you were to go to some of the bastions of Christianity, you may or may not hear some of these things. That really is not relevant to me. What is relevant is what the Bible says. And that's what I want to look at with you briefly. In Romans chapter 6, okay? In Romans, I'm going to be reading from the Berkeley version here, okay? So it may be a little different than what you have. In Romans chapter 5, these last verses of chapter 5 are like verse 17. Far more surely will those who receive the overflowing grace and the gift of righteousness, by the way, was a gift, reign as kings in life. Do you understand what it means to reign as a king in life? You'll never be able to reign over your own domain as a king unless you believe you're righteous. Unless you believe God's given you grace, you'll never reign as a king in life. You'll never live victorious in your life. So through one righteous act, there is for all men justification in life. So through the obedience of the one, many will be placed in the position of righteous ones. Yet where sin increased, grace was in greater abundance. Okay. What inevitably happens to me and others, or what happens in my situation, I know with Brent, is people come up and say, that's great, but you know what you're saying? The impression you're giving leads me to believe very strongly I can go out and do whatever I want. That's true. You can go out and do whatever you want. If you went out and killed somebody today and you know Jesus Christ, you'll go to heaven. Don't blame me. You better talk to God. God's the one who said it, not me. If Jesus Christ paid for your sin, then He paid for your sin. But that's not the issue, and that's what I want you to understand. That's going around. That's the cop-out, the Christian cop-out. You can't have people be that free, because if they're that free, they'll abuse it. Well, they won't. But they won't if you understand what I'm going to talk about right now. Romans 6. Now, look at what Paul says. This is another reason why I believe we're so close, if not right on the money, to exactly what Paul is communicating. Paul's number one persecution and oppression came from sharing this very truth that we're sharing today. This is why the Jews hated his guts. This is why Paul was stoned, because of the gospel and because of what he shared. And I'll tell you a little secret. If Paul was alive today, he would not be your Joe Popular Christian, because he would be going against too much religiosity and traditions that have been shared to even be popular. He wouldn't be popular. This message isn't super popular. To those who believe it, it becomes fantastic. But there's a real struggle out there. I know of people that have shared some of their tapes, these tapes, and the awesome love of God with their friends. Their friends told them, that guy's a heretic. Your pastor's a heretic. It's fine with me. That lets me know I am really right on the money, Brent and I, to what this book has to say. So it matters not to me what friends think or people think. What matters is what God says. Now, look at with me, with Paul. He says, what then are we to say? Shall we remain in sin to let grace become more plentiful? Did you know that's the very implication of the gospel? Your sinfulness is why you got a lot of grace. God gets a lot of glory because you blew it. If you didn't, you wouldn't need God and you'd be real proud, see? And we wouldn't need God. And because of your sin, it was God's opportunity to come and pour out His grace and His unmerited favor in your life. So the natural conclusion is, well, you know, Mark, if I believe what you and Brent have shared today, wow, I can go out and do whatever I want. Now, I want you to look at here what Paul says. Not at all! What a wicked, godless thought! You should always pursue holiness with zeal. He doesn't say that. He says, not at all! Exclamation mark. How shall we who have died to sin still live in it? How can a dead man live in sin? Do you not know? As many as us as were baptized in the union with Christ were baptized in union with His death. So we are buried with Him in death through baptism. This baptism it's speaking of is the Holy Spirit baptism. Physical baptism is simply a picture of this. In order that just as Christ rose from the dead through the Father's glorious power, so we too shall raise from the dead. Is that what He says? He doesn't say that, does He? He says, so we too shall conduct ourselves in a new way of living. Jesus, when He rose from the dead, He died, friend. He died. When He raised, He wasn't the same. He walked through walls. He was here and gone. He was there and gone. He was different. He wasn't the same old Jesus. He died. And because He rose from the dead and now had an equally glorified body to go with His glorified spirit, death had no potential to even touch Him. Could do nothing to Him. That is why you and I have power for living. Now follow along with me very carefully. For if we have been united with Him in death like this, then the same must be true of our resurrection with Him. Being aware of this, and this is what I'm afraid we're not always aware of, being aware of this, that our old self was crucified with Him, so that the power of the sin-controlled body might be done away with and we should no longer be slaves of sin, for a corpse is considered guiltless of sin. So I'm reading it out of the Berkeley Version. I like the way it puts it here. For a corpse is considered guiltless of sin. Now, you saw last week Scott England portray Jesus, and I want to tell you, you get crucified, you're dead. You're dead. There's no living through it. You die. Most of you don't realize you're not you anymore. You died. Chris died 4 months ago. 4 months ago he died. I died 17 years ago. I died. It's not me anymore. It's not the more. If you would have known me when I was 15, when I put my trust in Christ, I'm not me. Even if I look the same, I'm not me. I died. And as a brand new person. Now, let me give you a little analogy. Let's say we're all in this room. The doors are shut. We've been here all morning. And someone, let's use Tom as an example. Somewhere during that time, Tom had a heart attack, and he died. He died at 9:22 a.m. And at approximately 10:22 a.m., we found another body under that seat over there with a knife in them. They'd been murdered. And all these doors were locked, and we were here. Someone in the room did it, right? Who is one person in this room you could not convict of that crime? Come on, answer me. Why? Can dead men sin? Can a corpse be held accountable? Can I put him on the witness stand and cross-examine him? Now, Tom, at 9:52, as you were laying dead, tell me, did you see anything strange? Really? Oh, let's bring a medium in. We can talk to the dead then. You see what I'm trying to communicate, or what Paul is trying to get across is, and what we've been trying to get across of all day is, so often you're spending your life dealing about something that's irrelevant. It's irrelevant. Faith is the issue. What do you believe? Not sin. Faith is the issue. Now, obviously, we're learning to live this new life according to the new way of living, according to the new creature. So obviously, we don't always do things perfectly, but what I'm trying to say is that's not the issue. You died. You no longer have. Let me explain to you what you have. The egg. Remember the egg? You've got the shell. That's all. You don't have the old yolk nature. The sinful nature that we once had was crucified. I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. I'll bet you sung that song for all your life and you never even understood what it meant? Was this some new kind of sacrificial dedication commitment song? You know, no. Paul is saying, I died. I've been crucified. And the life I live now, I don't live the way I did before. I live by faith in the Son of God. The life I live now is Christ. Christ, Christ. Christ is the new motor in your shell. Christ is the new nature in your shell. This shell may have its fleshly tendencies. As Brent was sharing those old patterns, it's really just like that elephant. So used to doing things a certain way, but you understand that that's all there is to it. You're so used to swaying back and forth, and swaying, and one day you sway too long and it breaks. It breaks, and you don't know what to do with that leg. You know, and so often, even after it's broken, I see people standing by the tree. You ever watch elephants? They sway, just like me. They sway back and forth as they eat, and they throw their trunks up, you know. And they throw the straw up over in the water, and they squirt it all over. Because they're tied, see here. But like Brent was sharing, it's you died. You died. I want you to turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. You know, the only way you're going to retain these is to memorize them. So you might as well plan on it. Write yourself a little note. Memorize. Colossians chapter 3. Oh, let's see. I don't want to get... Yeah, okay. Yeah, Colossians 3. Sorry, I was thinking of something else. One of the reasons I realize that in certain times it's not good to skip through the Bible all the time. One of the reasons I do this is so that your faith is not founded on what I'm saying. I want you to know there's a broad base in the Bible in these areas. I'm not just drawing out one obscure verse. So sometimes it's like a Bible page turning lesson, but I do that so that you understand this is really through everything Paul says. So in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1, if then, that's the question, if then you've been raised up with Christ, seek the things which are above, where Christ is seated at God's right hand. Apply your mind to things above, not to things on the earth, for you have died. And your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, makes His appearance, then we also will appear in glory with Him. I want you to underscore a few things. First of all, if then, are you a Christian or aren't you? If and in fact you are, if and in fact you put your trust in Jesus Christ, then you've been raised up on the same level as Christ. You have been raised up with Him, and you are seated with Him now in the heavenly realms, just like He is seated right now. Why is He seated? As Brent so winsomely put it, because His work's finished. Why are we seated? Because our work's finished. But the only way you can get to heaven is to die, or you wouldn't be there. You see? You're already there because you died. Now seek the things that are above, the heavenly principles that are above. Apply your mind. I like this verse. I just want to underscore this. Brother and sister, get the tapes. Apply your mind. Work the brain. Work this mind to things that are above, not the things that are down here. Where would you be if you put your mind as much as you do through the engineering projects that you're given 40 hours a week? If you applied your mind with the same energy and tedious work to spiritual things, where would you be? That's what Paul is saying. And then he says, for you have died. For you have died. Past tense. You have died. You have died. And your life now is hidden with Christ. Now, this verse 4, I want you to understand what this means. When Christ, who is our life, makes His appearance, when He comes and gets us, then we will also appear outwardly glorified just like He is. That's what He's saying here. That's the whole point of this passage. When Jesus Christ comes back, I can just see it. I hope it's at a meeting. I really do. I hope we're in a meeting and we're rejoicing. I'd really like to go that way, you know. And the Lord just comes back, and in an instant, you're going to look at me and not, and I won't be this way anymore. And I'm going to look at you in a moment. In a twinkling of an eye, He will come and you'll be changed. And your mortal shell will take on its immortal outward glorification that matches the immortality you already possess inwardly. Just in a moment. And we'll look around at one another and we'll appear just as glorified as our Savior. Now you have to see that by faith. That's all. You just pretend it's true. It is true. It is true. You don't pretend, but I mean, you just walk around in newness of life because you died. Galatians 2:20 is the other verse I wanted to have you look at. I already shared that with you. For I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, you see, that's the point. Nevertheless, well, how can you live if you're crucified? Because you got a different life. I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I live, but Christ lives in me. Then I'd like you to go to Colossians 2. Colossians chapter 2. I want to talk about just one touch on one thing. I've really never shared publicly before, but I felt like it's in Colossians. And I thought this is a picture God's given. We might as well talk about it and understand what it's talking about here. Start with verse 8. Colossians 2, verse 8. Well, actually, start with 6. There's something here I want to show you. So, as you accepted Christ as Lord, live in union with Him, rooted and built up in Him and confirmed in the faith, just as you have been being taught, and be overflowing with the giving of thanks. Well, you know, I just, again, what Brent said, you cannot find a place in the Bible that says be overflowing with the giving of confession. You cannot find a place in the Bible that says be overflowing with the giving of guilt and sorrow. Be overflowing with it. But overflowing with thanks. Be overflowing with thanksgiving. Now, how did you get Christ? By faith, right? You got Him by faith. So, He's saying, as you received Christ by faith, continue to live in Him by faith. Not by what you see, but by faith. By faith. Believing what God says, that's all there is to it. Again, what Brett said, no matter how you feel, no matter what you see, no matter what crud seems to be coming out of the shell, don't worry about it. That's the whole point of what we're saying. Don't worry about it. That's not you. That's the shell. Who cares about the shell? Everyone throws it away and they eat the good stuff. The good stuff is there by faith. And then he says this, beware of anyone carrying you captive through philosophy and empty deceitfulness along lines of human traditions and the world's elementary principles and not according to Christ. I want you to know that according to Paul later in Colossians, the law is the world's elementary principles. Do not taste, do not touch, do not handle. The world's elementary principles where he says a new moon celebration, a Sabbath, eating, drinking. That's the law, my friend. And he's calling the law right here elementary world principles. Don't let anybody carry you away with them anymore or twisting them. And then he says, not according to Christ. Why? Because that's the shadow. Christ is the substance. Again, Brent touched on this. For in Him all the fullness of God dwells bodily, and in Him who is the head of all, rule and authority, you are enjoying fullness of life. Are you enjoying fullness of life? Dead men don't enjoy fullness of life. Only new people enjoy fullness of life. Living because of God's resurrection. Now, this is what I want to get to. In Him, too, you were circumcised, not with a physical circumcision. I got to switch Bibles. I want to read this to you in the NIV. In Him you were also circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with the circumcision done by the hands of men, but with the circumcision done by Christ. Having been buried with Him in baptism and raised with Him through your faith in the power of God who raised Him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sin. He canceled the written code. That was the law with its regulations. That was the law that was against us and stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross, and disarmed the powers, authorities. He made public spectacle of them, triumphing them over them by the cross. Here's what a point I want to draw from this that God puts here. You all understand what circumcision is? Some of you do, some of you don't. Probably everybody does. Circumcision is the removal of flesh. And you want to know something? It never grows back. Once it's gone, it's gone. It's not like cancer. You cut cancer out, it might come back. Not so with foreskin. It didn't come back. You're circumcised. You understand what this is saying? God cut away your sinful nature. He stripped you of it. Like you take the peel off a banana. Do you see what that does for your self-concept? See that? It's gone. It's gone. When you were dead in your uncircumcision, He made you alive. How did He make you alive? By stripping it away and giving you a new nature. You're not the same you. You're dead. You died and you're brand new. So God has covered every single base possible. I love this about the Lord. I mean, you talk about overkill. Sometimes people think, I overkill. Let me just talk to you a little bit about the overkill of God. Number one, He forgave you. Number two, He made you righteous. So that as far as He's concerned, that's the way you are all the time. Number three, He constantly washes you with the blood of Christ. Number four, He always intercedes for you. Why would He even have to do it? Why would you intercede for a righteous person? Number five, there's no condemnation now for those who are in Christ. Number six, He cut the old nature out of you. And it doesn't grow back. Man, alive. 1, 2, 3, 4, 6. And you can come up with more. You go through the New Testament. And it's everywhere in every book that Paul writes. One way or another. You are different. And what is old, the old things have passed away. Like your grandma, she passed away. That's what it means. And so when you're walking along in life and you stumble or you trip, God is, number one, giving you grace. Tons of it. Number two, His blood is washing you. Number three, He comes and runs alongside to help, according to 1 John. He gets closer to you and picks you up. Number four, He reminds you in your little ear, you're righteous. What was that again, Laura? Wax him. You're righteous. But wait, Lord. You're righteous! Lord, I think I heard that. I don't know if I've... You're righteous! As my son! Oh, Jiminy, you're my beloved son in whom I find all my delight. Really? I am? You are. Number five, you're justified. Number six, you're perfect. And God's there reminding you all the time. Do you see, if you believe what I'm telling you today, your life will begin to change so much you won't even believe it. You won't even believe the same life. Your wife won't believe you're the same husband. Your husband won't believe you're the same wife. Sin is not the issue. Faith is. The kingdom of God consists in righteousness, love and faith, joy, peace. Not in eating and drinking, not in rituals, not in do's and don'ts, but in what you believe. If you believe today the things we talked about this morning, that you're righteous, if you believe that no matter what you do or don't do, you cannot get more righteous. Do you understand that? Can you get more saved? Tom, can you get more saved? You're as saved as you're going to get, aren't you? Lanny, you're going to get more of God? He's in you, isn't He? You're not going to get any more of God. So who's going to get more righteous in this room? Who's got a plan for getting more righteous? Nobody. Because you're not going to get more righteous. You're as righteous as you're ever going to be. You're as righteous now as you're going to be in heaven. The only thing that's going to be different in heaven, my friend, is the devil's going to be in hell. Hallelujah. And your shell is going to be squished. And you're going to have a brand new body. And those three things we don't have now. Those are the only three things you don't have. And you're going to get them. In a moment, the twinkling of an eye will be changed. And this mortal will take on immortality. In the meantime, this dead man does what all dead men do. He decays. He gets fat. Oh, I hate that. Man, I tell you, I hate it. But I'm getting old. I went out the other day and cut this tree down and spent 7 hours or 6 hours working on this tree, and I was chainsawing it and cutting it up. And then I thought, I'm one of those guys, you know, you start something, let's get it all done. I don't like pacing myself. So I'm chopping all the wood too, you know. Then I'm breaking all the twigs up. And all that tree, the whole tree's in my house now. broken up boxes for starter twigs and then logs because I love fire. See, because I wanted to build a fire that night. And my posterior was killing me. My hamstrings are killing me. I couldn't even grip when I was done. Now at 18, I could have done that easy and got away with it. I'm decaying. You're looking at a dead man. You're looking at a man whose body is decaying and so is yours. That's what dead things do. But you know what you're seeing inside is a guy who's being renewed day after day. Day after day in newness of life. And you're reflecting more and more the Lord's glory outwardly because of what you already are inwardly. And that's all this Christian life is all about. Walking by faith, believing what God says we are, and pretty soon people start to see a different you. It starts, those rays of light start coming out from the eyes and the smile. I see Christians that are Christians, never had a smile on their face once. And one day they get a hold of some of these things and you can't wipe it off their face. What's a smile? The smile reveals, the Bible says, what's in the heart. Do you know what Jesus said? It's not what's on the outside. Now remember, this is very important. It's not what's on the outside that makes a man unclean, but it's what's on the inside. Murder, malice, lust, envy, etc., etc. Did you know that that's not on your inside? God cleaned you out. We still make this flesh. Again, we have this old flesh, and it still has its patterns. There's times those thoughts come. But the devil, he's there. He throws them at you, and you're thinking about them in those same old patterns. But that's not the way you are. Before we ever knew the Lord, that's the only way you were. You had no other choice, because that's the way you were, period. God's changed you. And so ever so often, we go back to those old ways, you know. But that's not the way you are. And it has no power over you anymore. Only if you believe it. Again, you see, I want to underscore so much what Brent said. Only what you believe. Only what you believe. That if that elephant believes he's chained, then you'll believe. If you believe you're chained to your old ways of life, you'll be chained till you go to the grave. Or you can live a new resurrected life in power and dynamic joy that you never experienced before because of faith and what God said he did. I just want you to understand that dead men are guiltless of sin. That's another reason why you're not guilty, as Brent was so well put. Because you can't accuse a dead man. Who's going to go accuse a dead man? I mean, you can't do it. Anyway, you will stand free from accusation, blameless, no matter what you think. Okay? So let's settle that. I trust that you'll believe it now, though, and experience the abundant life that God intended for you. Because it's a thrilling life. And without it, I'll tell you something, without these principles, I would have left the Christian life 5 years ago. I wouldn't be here today. I was sick and tired of carrying the burden of God around all the time. Trying to do this, trying to do that, trying to measure up. You'll never measure up. And you strive in the flesh. Having begun in the Spirit, will you now be made perfect and attain your goal in the flesh? No, you won't. You won't. And if you're not diligent to enter that rest, as Brent shared, if you're not diligent to believe and apply faith, your mind and faith to what we've shared today, you will continue to drag and drudge through life. And you're going to continue to believe in your livology and your theology that the command of God is burdensome, that knowing the Lord is a drag, trying to reach people is a drag, living for Christ is a drag, all because you refuse to believe what you heard. March 10th, 1988, or April 10th. God can change your life today. God can change your life as much today as when you got saved. Faith is what changes your life. And you could take a step today forward today that would be a greater quantum leap than when you got saved by faith. And you're going to take another one. And the next day, another one. It's kind of like being able to be a moonwalker on the moon. You know, you jump and you really go. You know, you see, we're able to break those gravitational pulls spiritually. Because we are not under the laws of nature, spiritually speaking. That's been broken, those chains. And we just, a quantum leap forward. A quantum leap forward. God doesn't want you going a little bitty step at a time in your Christian life. He wants you, forward and forward and forward. And then I want to end on this. Brothers, I have not yet arrived, And I've not yet attained or obtained that for which Christ laid hold of me. But one thing I do, I forget what lies behind and I strain forward to what lies ahead. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things, and if not, God will make it clear to you. Only live up to what you've attained. And take note of those who live according to this pattern and follow their way of life as you have followed my way of life. That's a command. God wants to change the way you live. God wants you to forget what's behind and get on to this new way of living. And God wants you to make these principles the life foundation anchors to your life. And I guarantee you that in a month, a week, you'll be experiencing things, joy. Sometimes you wonder, why don't I have joy? You know? Although joy is simply a choice. If you believe it's true, you'll have joy. If you don't believe it's true, you won't have joy. If you believe you're a millionaire, you'll have joy. And if you don't, if you're poor, you won't. I mean, it works in what you believe to be true. You have the freedom today, everything today, to never get discouraged again. To never get bummed out about yourself again. Because you're dead. You're a brand new individual. And because you've been made perfect one time for all. And no longer need to feel guilty for sin anymore. That's biblical. Over and over again. That's a solid foundation of the Word of God. Let's pray. Thank God for our day. I really appreciate you staying with us today. It's been great to have you. And I trust that God really built you up today in your faith. Yes, Brent? Right, thank you. Thank you. Robin is called me the other day, and she's in the hospital with a mild rejection of her kidney. Some of you don't know Robin. Robin, and some of you do. Robin is just really quite a girl. I've never seen the girl frown, and she has more problems than all of us put together in this room with her health. She has some incredible health problems. She's only about 32 or 30. And she needs her prayer that God would give strength to her body. She can barely, I think she can barely see. I think she can, her kidneys are gone haywire. Isn't she also diabetic? It's incredible. She's almost died a couple times. And she's just such a joy to my heart. She's always calling me, telling me how much she's praying for me. And we'd like to take a moment to just remember her and ask God to really give strength and encouragement to both her body and her spirit. And because I'd like her to be with us for a while before the Lord takes her home, which would be far better for her. Be far better for us if she could remain on because of her example. So let's just pray for her and thank God for our time. I'll tell you what, you pray with the person next to you. All right? Two things. I want you to pray for Robin. And then I want you to specifically each pray for some things you learned today that God will put them in your life, and then I'll close in prayer.